This faith and finance podcast is underwritten in part by One Ascent. God has created every single person and every square inch with immeasurable dignity. And every day, businesses impact these people and places in powerful ways, either causing them harm or helping them flourish. Our trusted sponsor, One Ascent, exists to help investors consider who a business impacts and how they're impacted. More than likely, your values inspire why you invest, whether it's to provide for your family, put your kids through college, or prepare for the next stage of life. One Ascent believes your values can also inspire how you invest by directing your investment capital into companies that positively impact the world. Whether you invest on your own or work with an advisor, One Ascent's comprehensive values-aligned solutions seek to help you do well by doing good. To explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values, visit oneascent.com. Click on Analyze My Investments on the homepage to tailor your portfolio to what truly matters to you.
Will your career path allow you to retire someday? If you have doubts, you'll want to stay tuned for some good news. Hi, I'm Rob West. When it comes to being able to retire someday, what's more important, how much you make or how much you save? Ron Blue joins us today with a story that should inspire you if you worry that you don't make enough to retire. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance, biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, my guest today is Ron Blue, financial teacher and author and co-founder of Kingdom Advisors. Ron, great to have you back with us.
As always, Rob, I look forward to it. I appreciate being asked.
We're always delighted to have you. And Ron, you know this quote from Albert Einstein. He said, compounding is the eighth wonder of the world. And he said, and I quote, he who understands it earns it. He who doesn't pays it. And I know you have a story for us about a couple who apparently understood this very well. And I'm not surprised. Tell us about it.
Well, several years ago now, my 30-something-year-old son, he was a teacher at a private school. He'd been married for a bit, and his wife was a teacher also, and they had yet had children. But his question was, he said, Dad, he said, you know, Ann and I are just teachers, and we're just never going to have enough probably to ever retire.
Yeah.
And in the school where he was working at that time didn't have a pension program either. So That was his question, and it was a relevant, important question.
Yeah, and that certainly could be true, but it doesn't have to be. As we said, what you earn is important, but not the most important part of the equation, is it?
No, for sure. And I began to ask him a few questions, and I said, tell me a little bit about your financial situation. And what he told me was exactly what I would want to hear. One was he never, ever used credit cards for debt. He used credit cards to buy things, but they paid it all off. They didn't have any car loans. They had a home mortgage, and they had a savings account. And frankly, they had about $30,000 in their savings account. I can't remember when I had $30,000 in a savings account. but they, the fact that they had a savings account was, I think, really significant, because it meant that they were living within their income. Yeah. And they weren't spending it, so they were saving as opposed to spending. And what Albert Einstein had to say was very relevant to them, because they were saving and they were benefiting from the compounding interest.
Yeah.
So I was and we could have stopped right there. I was pretty pleased with what I was hearing, the fact that they were at that stage of life with no debt and a savings account. Pretty unusual, quite frankly.
I can imagine. And I'm not surprised, Ron. The acorn didn't fall far from the tree, I guess. But give us some of the nuts and bolts as you unpack this. How did they do it?
Well, they just set aside, I think it was about $2,000 a month, which was Ann's salary, I believe. Part of Ann's salary wasn't 100%. But they were saving about $2,000 a month, not spending. In other words, they had chosen to live in a smaller home than what perhaps they could have afforded, or the banker said they could afford. But I did know that if they were saving that kind of money, that at 30-something, give them 35 years till you're 65, and I knew, without even calculating it, that they would probably have $1 million or more in their retirement account.
Yes.
So they had the magic of compounding working for them rather than against them.
Yeah. Oh, that's powerful, and we know that works when you can be consistent in that. Well, Ron, we're about out of time. Tie a bow on this for us. What is the big takeaway here for our audience today?
Well, the big takeaway is basically to live within your income, avoid the use of debt, and set aside money on a regular basis and give yourself time, and time will be working for you as opposed to against you. And the earlier you start, the better. So that's pretty simple advice. Live within your income and don't use debt and save.
And do it for a long period of time. Well, that is great advice, Ron. It's something you've been saying for years, and I appreciate you sharing it in light of this great story. Thanks for stopping by, my friend.
Thank you for asking. Appreciate it.
Live within your income, avoid the use of debt, and save. Do it for a long time. That's Ron Blue's advice today, and it's good advice. We'll be back with your questions just after this. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance. We'll be right back.
What if your everyday purchases could support biblical causes? With the all-new Cash Rewards Visa card from Christian Community Credit Union, a portion of every purchase goes to ministries that spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children. Plus, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back. Visit joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
We're grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance. I'm Rob West, and I'm ready to dive into your questions today on anything financial. The number to call is 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open. That probably won't be the case a little later in the broadcast. So call now with whatever you're wrestling with in your financial life, and here's our promise to you. We'll be hopeful and encouraging as you invite us into your story, always pointing you back to Scripture so we can look at money through the lens of a biblical worldview, that we're managers or stewards of the King of Kings resources, that God has a lot to say on this topic. Now, not that he needs our money, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, but instead it's what he wants for us. He knows, and it's clear in God's word, that if we allow it to, money will compete with God for first position in our lives. Our culture reinforces this idea that our self-worth is equal to our net worth. Well, we just know that's simply not true. Our identity is rooted in Christ. God is our ultimate treasure, and money, well, it's one of God's good gifts that we can use to provide and enjoy, but also to bless others around us. And that comes through our generosity. But I realize you have practical daily decisions that you're wrestling with in your financial life. And so each day on this program, we tackle those together. So call right now. What are you waiting for? 800-525-7000. I'd love to talk to you today. All right, let's dive in. We're going to begin in North Dakota, and welcome Claudine to the broadcast. Go right ahead.
I'm 76 years old, and I've never called into a radio show in my life, so this is new to me. But
well, I'm honored, Claudine, that you would trust us with that first call, so you go right ahead.
Okay. A little over 2 years ago, my husband passed away, and at that time, my CPA said, if nothing changes in my finances, I don't have to worry about filing taxes anymore. And I accepted that, but I just need some confirmation that that could possibly be true. I didn't know that there came a point in a senior citizen's life where they didn't have to file taxes anymore.
Yeah. Well, it all depends upon your income, Claudine, and your income sources. And if your income is of a certain amount, that is typically for single filers, less than the standard deduction of $13,850, unless you're self-employed and earning income that way, then that is true. You do not need to file a tax return because there is no tax due. What are you living on now? Is it just Social Security alone?
My Social Security comes to about $28,000, and I draw $400 a month from my husband's 401k plan.
Okay, yeah, very good. So if your Social Security is your only income, typically you won't need to file. It's the other income that can push you up high enough to require filing, and in some cases, even a portion of that Social Security becomes taxable. But if it's Social Security alone, your CPA is exactly right. You would not need to file in just about every case. And, you know, I would trust that professional's guidance in this situation. But it sounds like given that you're just drawing an income from his investments, and is that inside of a retirement account of some sort?
It's his 401k.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, very good. And how much did you say you're taking out per year?
$400 a month.
So okay. Yeah.
$4,800 a year.
Yeah. Very good. So I think the combination of that $4,800 a year plus Social Security being your only income would likely put you in that situation. I think you could go back to your CPA and just say, hey, I'd love an update on this. Can you take a look at what's going on? But from what I'm hearing here, Claudine, I would concur with what you were told.
Oh, thank you so much. I don't have to worry about the IRS coming after me then. Thank
That's exactly right. All right, Claudine. Hey, may the Lord bless you. We're so thankful that you called today. And call anytime. 800-525-7000 is the number to call with your financial questions today. Again, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. To Charleston, South Carolina. Hi, Charles. How can we help?
Hi. Question. Taxes on capital gains on the sale of a home.
Yeah.
Am I correct that in figuring the basis, you take the sale of the house, what you received on the sale, you subtract what you received or what you paid initially, and then that forms a part of the basis or the basic part of the basis. Am I correct in that?
You are correct in that that is absolutely part of it. It's not limited to that, but it's the price you paid for the property, any closing costs paid by the buyer, the cost of improvements made, not maintenance, but improvements, all go into ultimately, what you will establish as your cost basis. And then you would subtract that from your selling price to determine the proceeds.
Now, we owned a house for 25 years. So what we paid back in 1997 was in $97. We sold it in 2023 and received $2023. So there's no way you can say, well, our actually in our what we the purchase price in 97 can be changed to what it would be $2023, in other words, in figuring inflation, because
no.
In looking at it, what we paid or what we would have paid, in 2023 dollars was about twice what we paid in 97. But I guess that's not the way it works, huh?
It's not, unfortunately. No, I hear what you're saying, but no, you can't factor in inflation there. They're looking at this as the appreciation of the asset, the growth of the asset. And I realize that inflation erodes that appreciation in part, but they're looking at your original cost basis plus any improvements, plus your expenses, plus any depreciation. I mean, to establish your cost basis, there is no inflation adjustment in that. Now, was this your primary residence?
Yes.
And are you married?
Yes.
Okay. So the first $500,000 of the gain, your selling price minus your adjusted cost basis, is free from capital gains tax. Are you aware of that?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
But we still got a fairly substantial gain beyond all that. So,
got
yeah.
It. Okay. Yeah, I certainly understand that. Now, you realize the capital gains rate that you pay is a function of your income, not the amount of gain that you had. And so if, you know, most people are in a 15% bracket today. So if you sold this in 2023, you know, if you're married filing jointly between $89,000 and $550,000, not your gain, but your adjusted gross income, then you'd be in a 15% tax, capital gains tax bracket. Below $89,251 in income, you'd be at zero. Is that, where do you fall?
In the former, the higher one.
Okay, yeah. So if you're between 89 and 550, then yeah, you're going to be at 15% on that portion that's beyond the $500,000 you get for an exclusion.
Okay, okay. All right. Well, I'm looking for anything that could possibly reduce the impact of those taxes. But
yeah,
and I
understand that.
Understand pretty much every all that.
Very good. Have you already sold the house?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah,
yeah,
very
we
good.
Sold it in about a year ago in 23.
I see. Very good. Well, I certainly understand where you're coming from, but unfortunately, it doesn't quite work like that, even though that was a good thought. Hey, all the best to you, Charles. Thanks for your call today. We'll be right back.
Are you searching for a way to become a better, faithful steward of the resources that God has given you? Well, download the FaithFi app and join the 37,000 others who are already using our app. The FaithFi app will provide you with wisdom, community, and simply help you stay on track with your finances. We have three money management options to choose from, so find an option that fits your unique needs. It's available on desktop or mobile. Simply go to faithfi.com and click app to get started.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance. On our last segment today, we're taking your calls and questions, 800-525-7000. We've got lines open. I've got room for perhaps two more questions today in this segment, 800-525-7000. Let's go to Sarasota. Hi, Dennis. Go right ahead.
Hey, Rob. Thanks for taking my call. I listen to you quite often and decided to see if you could give me some suggestions or recommendations or some money movement if needed. And currently I'm in the Florida retirement system on the drop system, a government worker. And I've got about $180,000 set aside in a credit union for savings. And, you know, currently was 3.5% variable rate, and it's dropped now to 2.75. Didn't know whether it'd be maybe a good idea to move some of that money into something else, you know, move some money around to see if I can get a better interest rate on that savings money or not. What's your thoughts?
Well, I mean, if you've defined the purpose of this money, either it's part of your emergency fund, 3 to 6 months worth of expenses, or it's money you think you're going to need in the next, let's say, you know, 5 years or less, certainly 3 years or less, then I think absolutely it belongs in savings. And for that portion that savings is the right vehicle, then you can do better than what you're doing right now. So I think a move would be in order. I mean, you could get 4.5% right now with FDIC insurance with a 5-star rated, you know, online bank. And I think that would be a great option for you to, in a sense, it sounds like, you know, potentially almost double the interest rate you're getting right now and, you know, no fees and again, full FDIC insurance. So to find that, I would go to bankrate.com, click on high yield savings, and you'll see as of today, who's offering the very best rates.
Okay. So, and that would still be liquid if I needed it.
Oh, yeah. It's savings. Or, so it's you can take a withdrawal whenever you want. They may limit the number of ins and outs because it's not a checking account, but it's completely liquid.
Well, yeah, and I'm not moving anything out of it right now anyway. So, yeah, again, it's just for emergency funds and stuff like that.
Sure.
I've already got some other, 457B through my through a company that deals with my government employer. And, of course, I got the what they call the drop system money, getting at 3.5%, but that's fixed. There's nothing I can do about that. So.
Well, it sounds like you're doing pretty good. Between the 457 and the Florida Drop program, you're going to have plenty of resources there available to you. You've got good liquidity and reserves. So, Dennis, keep up the good work, my friend. We appreciate you checking with us. I think bankrate.com is the place to go. Just click on high yield savings, and you'll see plenty of great options there to get a little bit more yield on that money. That's quite a bit of money, and so this will make a big difference. Thanks for your call. Let's go to Illinois. Hi, Gregory. Go ahead.
Yes, God bless. How you doing today?
I'm doing great, Gregory. How are you?
I am great, great. Good. Yeah, I got an old financial question for you. Go back in the all the way in the Old Testament.
Okay.
My question is concerning tithing offering. I'm hearing some different teaching now, according to the Old Testament law, a teaching that is still the same traditional, that you supposed to give 10%. And I'm hearing the other side of the coin that, according to the New Testament, that we're not caught up under the law of giving. According to the epistles, you give according to your heart. So I just want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, so here's my thought on that. So, you know, in truth, tithing is an Old Testament concept. And in fact, while the word literally means a tenth, so that's where we get the 10% idea from, there were actually three tithes in the Old Testament. There was one for the Levites, one for the temple, and one for the poor, and that one was every 3 years. So if you added up the quote-unquote tithe in the Old Testament was basically 23 1/3% every single year. And that was just the beginning. Then there was additional offerings that were on top of that. And we could, you know, go into all of those. Now, when we look at Old Testament giving, that clearly was under the law of Moses. We're under now the law of Christ. So what happened when Jesus entered the scene? Well, I think he took giving to an even higher level. I would say he showed a different way of giving, what I'll call whole life generosity. He gave his life as the ultimate sacrifice on our behalf to pay the penalty for our sin. So when he talked about money, he taught, when we look at the scriptures, that we should give as we've been blessed. In Luke 6:38, he said, "To whom much is given, much is required." In Luke 12:48, he, of course, commended the most famous giver. We don't know her name, but we know she was a poor widow who gave her last two copper coins. We also know he challenged the rich young ruler to give away all of his wealth. So I think there is some confusion on this. And what I would say is that also, in truth, Jesus referenced the tithe, even though, again, I would agree with you that we're no longer under the law of Moses. So what do we do with all of that? Well, I think given for those of us who have seen what he's done on our behalf on the cross, we embrace a New Testament model of giving, which I would say is, you know, the hallmarks of New Testament giving are giving freely, giving sacrificially, giving proportionately, to whom much is given, much is required. I would say it's also giving cheerfully. We don't want to be legalistic about it. We don't want to do it as God's word says, under compulsion, 2 Corinthians 9:7, each of you should give what he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So I think you're right. God wants our hearts, but he does also want us to be givers. I mean, that's clear throughout the whole of Scripture. And I think, Gregory, it's the ultimate demonstration of our trust in the Lord, because giving requires that we open our hands. It calibrates our hearts to God's. It gets our focus off our own mini kingdoms and gets our, focus on God's kingdom through our generosity. It allows us to participate with him. So what do we do with the tithe? Well, I would say the tithe is a great guideline for our giving because it's proportionate. It's on the increase. It starts with the local church, which is God's plan A. But I don't think it ends there. I think to the point of what we see in Jesus' teaching, it really, he raises the bar. And so I like what Randy Alcorn, the author, says, that the tithe is the training wheels of giving. It's our starting point. And then we look to give beyond that sacrificially. So what are your thoughts on that? I just have a few seconds left.
Man, that sounds great. I mean, that was wonderful, and you gave me some clear insight. So good. That was beautiful. I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Absolutely, Gregory. Well, I appreciate you, and thanks for calling and raising this question. You know, at the end of the day, it's not what God wants from us. It's what he wants for us. And I think giving is one of the amazing opportunities we have to be connected into God's activity. That's going to do it for us today, folks. Thanks to my team, Devin, Jim, Robert. Couldn't do it without them. Hey, check us out online at faithfi.com while you're there. Perhaps support the ministry by clicking Give. Thanks in advance for that. I hope you'll come back and join us again next time for another edition of Faith and Finance.
Faith and Finance is provided by FaithFi and listeners like you.